Genesis chapter 47, from the verse number 28 to the end of this chapter, I desire that we read with the help of our Heavenly Father and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, so the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, Swear unto me. And he swore unto him, and Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. This far, we read in our first reading. Now, let us bow down before our Heavenly Father to worship Him in prayer and praises to His name. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee to worship Thee and to praise Thy holy name, O Lord, for great is Thy goodness and mercy, great is Thy love and Thy faithfulness, O God. Thou art worthy to be worshipped and praised. And yet we see, O Heavenly Father, that the glory and majesty of Thy holy name is so great, so glorious, so wonderful, that we, as weak and as small as we are, we can add nothing to Thy glory. We cannot make Thy glory brighter. We cannot magnify Thee as much as Thou art worthy to be honored, worshipped, and praised. Therefore, O Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of our blessed Redeemer, in whom Thou art well pleased, in the name of Him who has merited our salvation, in the name of Him who is only worthy, to make our prayers, our praises, and our worship meet to what Thou art worthy of, O Lord. We pray that Thou grant us guidance and instruction, that Thou, O Heavenly Father, lead us through this worship, that we would not be worshipping Thee only when we are gathered around Thy holy word, but that we worship Thee with every breath of our life, our soul and body, our mind and heart, our life and living, to be Thine, solely and only Thine. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Thou teach us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Thou make us Thine own, O Lord God Almighty. Thou purify and sanctify us and make us worthy of Thy calling. And Thou, O Heavenly Father, lift our souls up above the reproach of sin and make us Christians. O Lord God Almighty, Thou hast said through the prophets, and in the last days, so many will try to get hold of that one Israelite, and they will say that they will eat their own bread and wear their own raiment just to be called by his name. O gracious Lord, our prayer is that we have nothing of our own, that there be no our will but thy will be done, that there be nothing, O Heavenly Father, between our blessed Redeemer and our souls, that we belong to thee in fullness of the meaning of that word. Gracious and loving Lord, forgive us our many weaknesses, shortcomings, and mistakes. Forgive to thy children, O Lord, every disobedience, every misunderstanding, just everything. For no sin has any place in thy presence, O Lord. And we are desiring to be in thy presence, this short pilgrimage, walking in Christ, and forevermore, O Lord, in the blessed mansions of glory. Therefore we pray, Heavenly Father, that Thou purify our thoughts, emotions, affections. Thou make us pure and holy. Thou make us righteous and godly. Thou make us faithful and fruitful, O Lord. Thou make us fit for Thy service. Lead us, Thou, and teach us, Thou. And Thou make us faithful, obedient, even zealous followers of Thy teaching, that we may walk in the steps of the Savior, that we may fully and completely reject everything that the enemy may offer to us. Loving Heavenly Father, Thou art the only true God. Thou art just and holy. And we do acknowledge before Thee, O Lord, that we should be righteous and holy in everything that we do. Oh, have Thou mercy on us, Lord, and Thou sanctify us. Make our soul free from vanity, pride, arrogancy. Make us thou free, O Lord, from bitterness, wrath, vengeance, and envy. Thou make us, O Heavenly Father, free to walk in that new life in Christ, in true holiness, righteousness, in the beauty of thy holiness, O Lord. Thou help us, O Heavenly Father, and keep us from the pollution of the world. How glorious and how wonderful thou art in all thy ways. Holy Father, keep us from every form of idolatry. For many will stand before the door of the heavenly portals, asking, open to us. In thy name we did so many things, good things. And thou wilt reply, depart from me, I never knew you. Workers of iniquity. Gracious Lord, keep thou our hearts from iniquity, and thou make us in the likeness of our blessed Redeemer. Teach us that meekness that is the only path to the heavenly glory. Teach us thou, O Heavenly Father, that true simplicity and loving kindness that will never compromise with evil and sin. O thou Holy One, thou All-Gracious One, make us thou faithful and make us fruitful. May the voice of thy truth sound forth. Make us thou, O Heavenly Father, make us thou good example of Christian living. Bless thou thy servants, as weak and as small as we are, and keep us thou from everything that is not pleasing thee. And thou do make us, O Lord, meek and humble, patient and kind, firmly grounded in thy gospel, and always on guard against the evil one. Bless thou our young ones, O Father, with innocency and childlike obedience to thee, our heavenly Father. Teach thou every soul, O Lord. Fill thou every heart. Thou grant true sanctification, enlightenment, and sound mind, clear understanding of that blessed and wonderful message of thy holy gospel. Even though it is that message of thine, so despised and rejected in the world around us, may it be chosen and elected and embraced and loved with all the zeal of thy first disciples, O Lord. May it be so in our hearts, in our minds. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, as we pray for our forgiveness, so we pray, O Heavenly Father, that thou be gracious, loving, and merciful to every child of thine, and that thou purify every heart, sanctify every soul, that thou, O Heavenly Father, forgive and correct and heal and strengthen and make us one in Christ, one in the spirit of love and peace and true holiness. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray for those precious pearls from the heavenly treasure. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for that light of thy truth in Christ. We pray for that message, O Lord, that thou hast proclaimed through the mouth of John the Baptist and through our blessed Redeemer and his disciples, our brothers, our sisters. Holy Father, we pray that thou grant true repentance, full conversion, victory over sin and death, new life in Christ, and peace and joy, here and forever after. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, O thou, our blessed Redeemer, may the door of grace remain open until the last soul that thou hast redeemed enter into thy peace. May not a single drop of that precious blood of our atonement, the sacrifice of our blessed Redeemer, be shed in vain. For thou hast said, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, through the mouth of thy Holy Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that thou art the greatest, and no one can snatch away the smallest, the least sheep of thine from the hands of the good shepherd of our souls, the one that laid his life upon the altar of that holy and righteous faith that once has been given to the saints, never to change. Faith that worketh through love and brings forth that blessed fruit of goodness and loving kindness, patience and forbearing, the blessed fruit of meekness and modesty, purity and true holiness. O Lord God, Almighty King of Kings, be thou our King, be thou our Lord. Be thou, O Heavenly Father, our teacher and corrector. May thy Holy Spirit fill our hearts, illuminate our minds, and make our souls free in Christ. Free to serve thee, free to love thee, free to worship thee, and to die for thee, O Heavenly Father, that we may live forever and ever to the glory and honor of thy glorious name. Amen. we are coming now to the moment when the people of Israel have multiplied already, and the number of them is growing larger from year to year. The people of Israel become a very strong and significant factor in that society. They became wealthy even during the years of famine, because they did not have to suffer scarcity of food. They did not have to eat their cattle because there was not food for cattle. They enjoyed abundance just as if the years were fruitful and abundant. And so the years of famine were over, and the good years came back again. The fruitfulness of the land was renewed, and they started sowing and harvesting every year as before the great famine, and the people multiplied more and more. Jacob, their father, grew old. The time of Jacob's departure is very near, and we read about the last words of Jacob and the last days of his journey, his pilgrimage. And so it happened that the difficult and sad history of Joseph's years of loneliness, when he was already past the time of his suffering, when he already had his children, and yet he still was lonely, longing to see his family, his father and his youngest brother, those years were well over. His father Jacob was old, and it came the time, as King David said later on, "I'm going the way of all living." Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, so that the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And then the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph. At this point, Jacob did not call his eldest son Reuben. Jacob did not call his son Judah, but he called his son Joseph. It seemed to me quite obvious, beloved, that as long as Joseph lived, he was considered the leader of the family. Jacob called his son Joseph. He said unto him, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt." It seemed to me that just in the case of Abraham, when Abraham wanted to send away his servant, the eldest one, or the one that was in charge of the whole household, the steward of his house, to go and find a wife to his son Isaac, Abraham sent his servant with the same procedure, "Put thy hand under my thigh." It seemed to me that that was a sign, a promise of faithfulness, even subjection, a form of a covenant of a man with a man. And as Abraham's servant, before the servant pledged to fulfill the demand or the request of his master, the servant asked, "What shall he do if that is not going to be possible?" And that indicates how important and how serious that promise was. Also, how important and serious to the person that asked something to be done according to his will and his desire, how important that was to that person. Jacob is asking that his remains, his dead body, after Jacob's death, be not buried in the land of Egypt. And I often wonder, beloved, what is so important about the burying place, knowing that God is going to raise every dust of those that ever lived on this earth. I also remember, beloved, that Moses, when he died, he did not desire that his grave be known. I wonder, it's a question, an open question, and I wonder what the answer is. Perhaps Moses would have liked to be buried in the sepulchre of his fathers, but then why didn't he ask for it? If the people of Israel were able to bury the bones of Joseph or his remains to be kept until they went to the land of Canaan, why could not also the remains of the dead body of Moses be buried in the land of Canaan too? I can clearly see, beloved, that there is something greater and more wonderful than a burying place, and that's a place where the saints will live forever with the Lord. But is that not also the lot of Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham? I think it might be possible that for a nation that starts its beginning, a nation that is new people, that were not people, a nation that did not have recorded records of the past, For that nation it might have seemed important to have the sepulchre of their fathers
as a record,
or as a place where they were reminded that the God of their fathers is the true God and the God of the covenant. Not having written scriptures, but having the old stories and teaching of the father Abraham, Isaac and Israel, and later of Joseph and the other teachers and great warriors that loved the Lord and served in his service and walked according to God's will. Perhaps it was important for the people of the later generations to know here in this sepulcher are the remains of a great man of faith, and his name was Abraham, and Abraham is our father. Why could not we also be faithful to the Lord? God only knows why, and perhaps there are some other ones that are more gifted or more zealous, and we'll find out some reason more than what I was able to share with you.